Hey, everybody. Good evening. If you want to grab, like, a last plate of food or run to the restroom before we get started, go ahead and do that because we're going to get started in just a couple of minutes. Thank you. All right, everybody, we're going to go ahead and get started tonight. And I'm going to read a passage of scripture for us from Acts chapter 13. And then I'll kind of explain a little bit what we're planning to do tonight, how we're kind of organizing our time together. So let me read from God's word from Acts 13. It's a story of from the church in Antioch, starting in verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. From there, it tells the story of Paul and Barnabas being sent out to do missionary work as they go out on their first missionary travel in the book of Acts, and a text that will be coming to you shortly. But something that stood out to me as I've been reading and thinking throughout this entire book is something that we keep trying to mention and reference in prayers and in sermons and all sorts of different contexts is the Holy Spirit is always already at work. We are always late. And we're trying to actually enjoy catching up to what he's doing. It's actually a beautiful thing when we get to hear testimonies from one another, right? When we get to hear from brothers and sisters in Christ what's going on in their lives, because what we're hearing, what we're getting to see, is how God is already doing things that we had no idea about, and we get to catch up. We get to hear, we get to see how God is at work in this world. And in particular, we always love doing these kinds of things at our family meetings, where we're reminded that God is at work in all sorts of different ways in the life of our church, and we want to have these nights be just little windows into that. Insights into different areas in the life of the church where God is at work, and we get to hear stories, we get to hear updates, we get to hear testimonies and interviews of different things that God is doing. And in particular, I wanted just to point out a few things. We're going to hear from the M28 interns in just a little bit. We're going to hear an Our Place update, a Deacons update, a 116 update. And I want to mention something about all of those things. Over the past year, we have been praying together as a church for each of those things. It was actually last year at the May family meeting that we talked about. We wanted to spend this next year praying and talking and thinking and planning about, well, how do we invest more in the youth in our church? What would that look like? How do we do that? How do we pray? Sharon came on staff to help think through that and work on that. And tonight, part of what you're going to hear is just an update of how we see God already at work in the lives of youth in our church, and some changes that we see that God is leading us in. And part of tonight is actually hopefully an encouragement to you all to hear that as we've been praying for things like this as a church, God is at work. He's helping us. He's giving us wisdom. He's giving us discernment. There's things happening in our church because God is in our church. He cares for us, and he's leading us, and he's guiding us, and he promises he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And nights like tonight are meant to be an encouragement to our souls to remember that all of those promises aren't just sort of theological or theoretical, but that God is really doing things in our church all over the place, and we want you to hear stories of how God is doing that. That is our aim tonight. And so I hope that not just having some good food and having some good fellowship, which hopefully is already happening tonight, but I also hope that we all leave tonight built up and encouraged through different stories, through different areas in the life of our church where God is at work, providing, caring, and empowering people to live lives as disciples, right? Reflecting his glory and building one another up. And on the back of your meeting agenda, so that's kind of on the front and on the back, there's some different prayer points for just things we're going to be praying for this summer. And those things that we want to pray for this summer, just like I was mentioning, we've been praying for a number of things. We want to continue to pray for some of those, like Our Place, because it's one of these long-term endeavors amongst many other things. But so much of what we want to be praying for is just a continued enjoyment, reliance, and dependence on the Spirit of God, to trust that he is at work, to trust that he's at work in one another, and that we can rely and depend on him. Brothers and sisters, if the main thing that we enjoy in this season is not particular specific things that are answered or changed in the lives of one another and or big things in the life of our church, but that we grow in a deeper dependence on God himself, it will be the best season we could ever have as a church. And so tonight, let me just start our night by praying for us, praying that we would grow in our love for the Lord, grow in our dependence on him, and that we would just be encouraged by the stories we get to hear. So join me as I pray to get us going. Father, I thank you so much that in your kindness, you have sent your Son and your Spirit to reveal yourself as our triune God in full. Father, we long for the day when we will see you in the face of Christ, to be with you, to know you, to live with you forever, to enjoy you forever, to enjoy the riches that we have now as an inheritance by the Spirit, but to have them in full one day. Father, would our hearts grow in longing for that day and waiting well for that day? And Lord, would we celebrate along the way all the glimpses that we get to see of how you are at work now, conforming us and readying us for that day. Father, would you encourage us tonight? Lord, would there be much gratitude in our hearts for how you're at work? Would we see, would we hear your Spirit's work in the life of brothers and sisters right here. Will that stir our hearts to love and good deeds? Father, would we be refreshed tonight? We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Sam, you go ahead and come up, and the interns as well. We're going to get started by hearing from our new M28 interns for this next year. So if we could welcome them all up onto the stage.
All right. Hello, everyone. All right. Well, for any of you who just have never heard it explained, or if you're a newer member of the church, I did just want to briefly say something about M28, which is what this group is interning for, our college outreach ministry. And that's what M28 is, right? It's an outreach ministry of this church to UNC Charlotte, which is a campus 12 minutes down the road with over 30,000 students. So it's this massive mission field where there are so many people who do not know Jesus. And as a church, M28 is our effort to, independence upon the Lord, seek to make the gospel of Jesus Christ known to as many people on that campus as possible. And every year we have interns come on staff to help carry out that mission, which they help in numerous ways, a variety of ways. And recently, if you were here on a Sunday morning when I got up and kind of gave an update, this past year we had one intern, Catherine Spencer. She's right there, and she did a fantastic job. But we felt the fact that we were a two-person staff team, right? We were stretched thin to a degree, and God provided in many ways through our student leaders. But in God's kindness, this year, rather than having two interns, we have three interns who are willing to come on staff. So. Yes, it's very kind of the Lord to provide in this way, and I'm excited for this staff team. I'm excited to work alongside of these three, and we obviously would just want to give you as a church the opportunity to put some faces with the names that you've heard and get to know them. So that's what we're going to do. So why don't we just go down the line here, and each of you just share a little bit about yourselves, who you are, where you're from, how long you've been following the Lord, how you got involved in M28, things like that. Anything you want the church to know?
It might be dead.
Is it dead?
It is not.
It's not dead. Hey, everyone. My name is Lewis. I'm from Denver, North Carolina. That was not me, dude. Do not look at me. That's near Huntersville. That's what I'm saying. And so I've been following the Lord faithfully since high school. And I got into M28 because my buddy that I went to high school with, who also went to UNC Charlotte, harassed me every single week until I finally went to a Bible study. And once I went, I just kept going back.
So. My name is Sarah. I'm from Thomasville, North Carolina. It's about an hour north of here. I grew up going to church and following the Lord. My dad's a pastor, so it's very normal for me to go to church and things like that. But I really started growing my relationship with the Lord once I got to college, and like what it actually meant for me, like what my faith actually meant to me and things like that. I started going to M28 my freshman year. I went to the block party because I like met a girl my first weekend, and we were like, we're going to check out all these different campus ministries. And we went to the block party, and as soon as I went, I was like, this is it. I want to go here. So.
Hey, y'all. I'm Julia. I'm from Wilmington, so the beach. Which I miss it very much. But I grew up going to church until like 2013, which was very different and definitely caused like kind of a shift in the family. And so coming to college when I was moving away and kind of had the opportunity to go for myself, that was very important to me. to just take that seriously and be involved in a church and go to a campus ministry. And it was just very, very important. And by the Lord's kindness and grace, he allowed me to be involved in actually a different campus ministry up until the very end of my freshman year. Usually when people kind of start like phasing out and you become a little less like invitational, one of our other friends invited me to an FBS, and then Sarah was the one who kind of like pursued me. And from then on, I just never left, and now I'm here. So, and I'll be finishing out my degree this December, so it'll be kind of an overlap with interning and still being a student, which is why I'm especially grateful that there are so many of us. So praise God for that.
So each of you have been, you know, involved in M28 for a number of years, some more, some less, but I think the church would just benefit from hearing. I know, Sarah, you mentioned even in your answer how you really started more faithfully following the Lord in college. So I think we would just love to hear how the Lord worked through M28 in your lives in college. So, Sarah, why don't you start? Yeah, you start, and then we'll go to Julia and then Lewis.
Like I said, I grew up going to church, so I knew, like, I had a relationship with the Lord, and my mom especially, but like my parents and family, like they very much pushed the idea of like finding a community once I got to college, because I think that's where a lot of people tend to fall away, because I think that's where everyone's kind of like trying to find themselves and things like that. So they very much pushed to find a community, and so that was kind of a priority for me. And then coming into M28, having that community of like surrounding myself with other people who are seeking after the Lord, just I think that helped me to grow, and like just having people who are trying to live life for Christ around me. I've just seen the Lord like really reveal himself a lot to me in very many ways, just who he is, and then who I am through him. And just, yeah, just things like that, I think is really where I've seen my relationship with the Lord change, and like just a deeper understanding and deeper love for who God is and what Jesus has done on the cross and things like that.
Yeah. And I think I would just, one thing that I would say that I've been very encouraged by with Sarah in particular, just seeing her in very real ways wrestling with the implications of the gospel, particularly, you know, maybe someone sinned against her or something like that, and then just the way she walked through that with humility and seeking the Lord and seeking to honor him. And so just hugely encouraged by the ways you've seen God work in you in and through college. But Julia, you mentioned that when you got involved through FBS. There are a lot of people here who probably have no idea what FBS is. So could you just explain that real quick, and then you can speak more to how God continued to use M28 in your life?
Yeah, so I think I went to like three before the school year ended, but FBS is Freshman Bible Study. So kind of like a community group, but specifically for freshmen. Yeah, so I went to a couple, and it's just a really good opportunity and just for a tight-knit community to grow within the greater M28 community. I know for our class specifically, we've stayed so close. Like every fall break, like freshman year with FBS, they have a fall break trip. We've continued that. And it's been hard as people, some people graduate and we're now working and it's just hard, but the closeness that was created that first year, I've never seen anything else quite like it, which is just such a gift. And I was there for 3 weeks. but it's just, it's carried on. So yeah.
And then how did the Lord just continue to work through the ministry in your life while you were in college?
Gosh, I don't even know where to begin, honestly. Prior to the Lord opening up the door to coming to M28, I kind of just always felt like a certain aspect of community and just genuine depth in knowing God and how the gospel should actively and practically change my life. I felt like that was missing. I grew up going to a Christian school from the time I was three, all up until my senior year of high school. So to still feel that lacking really became prevalent. But whenever I first started coming, I met Sarah, I met Kat, and off the bat, it was the questions that people would ask me that really stood out. They showed just how much they cared because they loved the Lord so much and they recognized the importance of sharing the gospel and understanding how the gospel changes our life. So I guess practically in my life became M28 essentially in the best way possible. And I just would go to everything I possibly could. And I've had the opportunity to, one of the girls graduated, a community group leader graduated in December. So I was able to take over her spot and co-lead. And then last year I was able to be the outreach officer. So focusing on just really cultivating, increasing campus presence and awareness and reaching out to UNC Charlotte's campus, but also just cultivating a community of being invitational and open and outreach focused. And so that was such a gift and grew me in ways that I didn't really expect and challenged me in ways I didn't expect. And just being on the other side of it, I'm so excited to see the Lord continue to do that work as he's already been doing that we're always late to. But I'm so excited.
Lewis, you go ahead.
I'm just kidding. So M28. So when I first got to college, I wanted to get the whole college experience. And in my mind, there was no room for the Lord in that. When I was in high school, super involved in youth group, went on a couple mission trips. But when I got to college, I was like, you know, I want to have fun. I just want to drink and do a bunch of stupid stuff and get lost in the flesh, right? And towards the end of my freshman year, I was just lonely, and I was upset and I was sad, and I was thinking about quitting school, and I was like, this just isn't for me. This stinks. This is horrible. And a buddy that I went to high school with, throughout the whole year, he was like, dude, come to a freshman Bible study. Just come to a freshman Bible study. You're literally doing nothing. Quit being lazy. I don't know why you're not coming. You're just sitting in your room playing video games and doing nothing all night. And so I went with him, and I hated it. And I was like, this is dumb. I don't know anybody here. And so like a month had passed, 2 months had passed, and then one night I was just sitting in my room by myself. My roommate had gone home, and I was like, maybe I'll go back. So I went back. I went back. I just went, and that was the Holy Spirit working on me. And then ever since then, it's just I got connected. Originally, it was just for community. It was such a great community there. There's such an awesome group of people. Both, like they were saying, our freshman class was awesome. But then just in M28, and my sophomore year, I started to get really more involved and I just realized that the thing I ran away from God was to find joy. And the only thing that brought me joy in college was reconnecting with God and finding Christ and getting discipled with and getting poured into by so many people on that minute in the ministry. I went to Anthem my sophomore year. And the intern at the time, Mason, he had pulled me aside and he said, I can see you're starting to follow Christ, but when are you going to start living like Christ? And that just, I just started crying, bawled. And so ever since then, it's just been an incredible turn. And I'm so grateful that I found the Lord again in college. And the ministry has been such a blessing to me. I don't know where I'd be without so many of those people, without Christ, just been awesome. So,
praise God, man. That's hugely encouraging. Yeah. I think one of the things you said right there towards the end that was also hugely encouraging is how Mason, an intern from 2 years ago, was used by God in such a significant way in your walk with Christ. And that just kind of highlights what interns are going to be doing as they intentionally pursue students on campus and how God works through that. So praise God for that. Can y'all just briefly share, you know, why do you want to do the N28 internship? Because it is a huge sacrifice to do it. So why don't you go ahead and share why do you want to do it and how can the church be praying for you over the summer? So Lewis, why don't you go ahead and take it away?
Yeah, so I'm a big believer in pouring into other people what people poured into you. So it is just such an exciting opportunity to get to take what people that are both still in the ministry and have since graduated from the ministry have poured into me in these past couple years and what Christ has poured into me, and I get to be a disciple and to get to help freshmen, sophomores, anyone in that ministry. I mean, there could be someone going through what I went through, and to be able to help someone and to be able, for God to use me to help someone find him, connect with him, worship him, to be a tool in that is just, it's so exciting. I want to pour into people like they poured into me.
And how can the church be praying for you over the summer?
I guess just pray that the people that are coming onto this campus, they just come in with open hearts, that there are people that are willing to just hear the good news, hear the gospel, and that are just willing to have a conversation with someone. That's how it always starts, right? So just pray for the students oncoming, and just pray for us that we can have those conversations with them, and that they can that they have those open hearts and open ears to listen and to maybe come to Jesus.
Sarah.
I very similar to what Lewis said. Like, I think just seeing a lot of what Kat did during her time as intern, and not only what she did for the ministry, but like specifically what she did for me and how the Lord used her. I think just the idea of getting to be in a position like that where I can, you know, help someone and like minister to someone and like pour into someone the way that they did to me. I think that just sounds really like a really amazing opportunity. But also just, I think I could just go get a job somewhere and ask the Lord to join me in that and things like that. Or I could go where I see him already at work. And I see the Lord at work in a lot of ways in M28. And I think I really want to do the internship to partner with him in what he's already doing and just like allow him to use me in whatever way he wants to. Just further what he wants to do on a college campus and like through M28 and things like that. And so I guess one way you guys could just be praying for me is that I would rely on the Lord and on throughout all of that. And also I think just continue to grow my heart for others and that I wouldn't, you know, want to give in to my own selfish desires or not want to like care for others when it's hard, but that he would just continue to grow my love for all the people that I talk to through M28, and that he just gives me the opportunity to pour into. So
I am really looking forward to this, and I'm excited because why not? Like, why not do this? When Sam asked me about it, honestly, hadn't considered it, because I knew Sarah was doing it, and in the past there's always been one, and so I hadn't thought about it, and I was thinking, what am I going to do after I graduate? And then Sam called me, and he was like, so what do you think about maybe interning next year? I was like, not going to lie, I had not thought about it. And so it was a quick turnaround that was entirely led by the Spirit. So just kind of coming off of that, I have such even more excitement just to continue to pour into the community, as Sarah and Lewis said. But also, I've kind of, in the past, like in sports in high school, I've kind of lived by, I want to be the person that I wish I had. But in this case, that doesn't really apply, because like both of us have said, Kat was that person, and it's because Kat was so faithfully living out what the Lord was calling her to. And so just to be able to do that for other people, to see the Lord continue his work on campus, I mean, it was, we were all so deeply encouraged this past year. Just, yes, by the amount of people we were seeing, but there were so many new people, and there were so many fruitful conversations just across campus, yes, but also within within small communities in M28. There was conflict resolution, which praise God for that, and just so many different ways that I'm so excited to have an even deeper insight into. So I guess just a couple ways that I would just ask y'all to be praying, like Lewis said, for our campus, just to open the hearts of students, both who have a hard heart towards the Lord and maybe those who are seeking a community or just feel like something's lacking, whatever. Just praying for the hearts of people on campus, for us, that there would just, that we would be open to whatever the Lord is doing, and just for unity for us as a team. And then just for me personally, just a peace and a wisdom and a dependence on the Lord, just to trust his word and not my own, to trust his voice and not my own, and to be able to discern that amongst everything else. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah. I'm very thankful for the three of you. Very excited to serve alongside of them. It's going to be a fun year, I think. I'm excited to see what God does. You know, I mentioned that the internship is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice in many ways, but one way in particular that it's a sacrifice is that these three raise support for their entire salary. So they are taking a huge step of faith by choosing to do the internship because they are trusting that the Lord is going to provide. And so I bring that up because I would encourage all of you. So many in this church have faithfully given to the interns for years, and I want to ask you to continue doing that. I want to ask all of you to just be praying about whether or not that's something the Lord would have you do, a way that you can partner with us. And if you've got any questions about that whatsoever, you can talk to them. You can also come talk to me. I'd love to answer any of your questions. But Mark is going to come up and give an Our Place update now. So,
I love college ministry. One of the things I love about college ministry is you see the boldness of people in that season of their life. They hear from the Lord. God uses them in each other's lives, and they just respond to it, right? And the Spirit comes alive, and they grow, and they step out and do what God calls them to do. Just a word of encouragement to those of us who have moved on in our season of life. Sometimes we can kind of get lulled into a more apathetic perspective. I know I'm sitting here listening, being convicted of, yeah, I just want to hear God speak to me and say yes and respond and whatever that looks like. They're modeling for us what Jesus is calling us to, and that's a beautiful thing. So thank you, Sam. Thank you, the interns. Looking forward to following what God does with you on campus this year. And God is alive all over this church. There's so much wonderful stuff happening right now. I'm kind of giddy, honestly. I'm over there, my foot's tapping. I'm listening to their testimonies. I'm thinking about what I'm about to share with you in Our Place, and thinking about what God's doing in the deacon ministry you're going to hear about in youth ministry. The Lord is moving in this church, and it's an exciting season to be here. So Our Place, just quick recap, right? Several years ago, we gathered input. We came up with these conceptual designs of how do we steward this place? What could that look like? What might that cost? And we set that in front of us, and then we just started sowing and saving towards that and waiting for the Lord to lead us to the point of further action. Well, if you're here in January, I mentioned that we've kind of come to a turning point where we realized that, okay, we now have $1 million in the bank saved towards this initiative. We're seeing construction costs continuing to rise. And it just became a point of stewardship that, okay, we need to draw a line in the sand at some point and just move forward. And we felt like this was the year to begin to take those steps to do that. And so we started that process after January. We pulled our resources back together, the designs and ideas. We started exploring builders and options for taking the next steps to execute this. That involves getting a general contractor involved and starting to get into what is this actually going to cost now, and what does this look like. And through all of that, the Lord ended up leading us to a group called Ecclesia Construction. Ecclesia, yes, the Greek word that we translate church in the New Testament. It is a for-profit company, but it is one, the principals of the company are believers who approach their work with a kingdom-minded perspective. They do a lot of building for churches and ministries. Their mission statement is expand God's kingdom and serve others well. And we have found in our brief interactions with them so far that they are pursuing that mission. So they are a design and build firm, which means they don't just design it, but they are the general contractors that run, they build the building for you. They bring in all the subcontractors and lead you through that whole process. So just this week, a small team of us met with them for a workshop time. We spent over 4 hours with them, introducing them to where we've been, where we are, our ideas, the designs that we have, talking things through with them, with their architect in the room, with their builder. We told them we're wide open. We want to hear your ideas. They put some new ideas on the table, saying, we see what you're wanting to do. That's exciting. We would actually suggest you consider maybe doing it this way or lay the building out this way. And we said, let's lay it all on the table. Let's talk this through. We're kind of kicking this off and restarting. So it was an exciting time, really exciting to see how this begins to move forward. Where that's at this point, they're going to go away and they're going to come back to us in several weeks to a month saying, okay, this is what it would cost to do it kind of more towards the original way you're planning. This is the way it would cost to do it with some of the new ideas that we're having, and we're going to start evaluating which directions we want to start taking to move forward. That's pretty exciting. Now, alongside, no matter what options we end up going with, right, we're going to need to take a loan at this point. So there's another thing for us to consider. If we choose some of these options, we don't have all the money to pay for it. So we're evaluating what that would look like. How much would we need to finance based off how much these things would cost? And walking through kind of good stewardship exercises with folks in the church that are skilled at those things to evaluate what's healthy, what would be wise, what would be not. So we're doing all these things in parallel. Again, this is all just planning and ideas. There's no commitments on anything. But we are at a point where we think it's wiser and a better steward to actually take what we have, move forward, take out a loan that's reasonable for our church and to move forward than to just wait and keep saving and have everything cost more and not begin to take action. So the bottom line of all that is our plan is to come to the October meeting. We have another one of these in October with a clear plan. This is what we're hoping and praying. It's obviously up to the Lord to bring a lot of details together. But we want to come to the October meeting with, here's the actual plan. This is the one. Here's the timeline. Here's the financing. Here's the financials. This is actually going to start happening, and this is how we want to execute it in the days ahead. So that's our goal. That's our hope. Be praying for that. So some of you have been around a while. You say, well, how is that different than 3 to 4 years ago? I thought we already kind of went through a process and we had a general plan. And you're right. That's what it was. It was a general plan. Several years ago, it was a concept design with an architect giving us a focus and a direction to begin raising money towards. The difference here is that this would be a very confirmed direction, a confirmed design with a chosen general contractor who's actually going to build the building with a clear timeline of, okay, this is when these steps are actually going to happen. First idea was concept. We need to raise money until the Lord makes it clear that we can begin to take steps. This is concrete. Okay, here's really what's happening, and we're going to start digging holes in the dirt and building buildings. So that's what we're praying for. That's what we're pursuing. There's several folks in the church involved in this process and gathering this info. And when I say we were doing a lot of these things, really, I meant Chris Cagle is doing a lot of these things. So be praying for and encouraging Chris. He's the point person who's doing a lot of the legwork, just communicating with the different people involved. So that's really exciting. Looking forward to seeing the Lord lead us forward in the coming year and make this thing come to life around us. Number two, this is a really quick and simple one. We've mentioned this before, but this has started to happen more tangibly. We have begun talking to some potential ministry partners or mission partners, nonprofit. I shouldn't say some, it sounds like a lot. There isn't a lot, but we've had a conversation or two with some people of different, how might they want a partner to use parts of our property? What would that look like for them to use some of this space, maybe lease some of it from us, but it would have to be a missional objective that aligns with what we're trying to do as a church in the city. That's just exploratory. We're just seeing what's out there and how God might be leading. Number three, and finally, financial. I want to encourage you all to keep giving towards this. I know it's been conceptual. I know it's been this thing that it's kind of come and gone and focus and emphasis. It's just been out there. We've been encouraging you to keep sowing into that. I want to thank you. We have about 40 people and families in this church who are, I'd say, regular recurring givers to this, just regularly sowing into that. Thank you so much. That's why we have $1 million in the bank towards this. And I also want to challenge those of you who have never given to it at all, just put it before you to seek the Lord. How might I contribute to this? I know it's harder when the specifics aren't there in front of you, but they're coming. They're coming this fall by God's grace. And so just pray, ask, how can I contribute as a family towards investing in the future of this church in this practical way? We've said it in past meetings, but we're all standing here as beneficiaries of incredible sacrifice of other people for 35 years who paid for all of this and served and gave their blood, sweat, and tears to keep it going and maintaining it and pouring into it. And now the Lord's leading us into the next phase of that for this church and in this community. And folks, I see life. I mean, this church is wonderful. I testify to everybody, I love my church, but I the Lord is stirring in my heart of just even more life coming on this property and this church and what these campaigns will be doing for our church just as we live to glorify God in this community and be on mission with him. So be praying for this, be praying for us, and come before the Lord as to how you can be contributing to that and participating in it financially in the months and in the years ahead. With that, I'm going to transition us again to David Moore is going to come up here. David's been doing some work for our deacons and deacon ministry, as he is one of them, and leads them. It's amazing to see David's heart for all that God has him doing these days, and we're going to hear from him as to some updates.
Thanks. So as Mark said, there is a lot of exciting stuff going on, and I'm excited about this particular thing, which is not surprising since I'm working on it. But as we talked about at the family meeting in January, we've looked at the fact we have an aging population, which is great. We were a multi-generational church, and how do we then care for people well as people age? And so lots of conversations, lots of opportunities to talk to a variety of different people, and kind of the route by which we're planning to do this at this point, and recognizing that we'll probably make changes as we go along and we figure stuff out. But I'm convinced the key is people need to be in relationship. when you're in relationship, people know what are going on in your life, and therefore they care, and things will naturally be taken care of. There's more opportunity. It's the whole idea of community. We talk about it all the time. It's easier for people as they age to become more isolated. So our plan is twofold. So first aspect is we're planning to recruit and pair up older folks with what we're calling a care coordinator. The idea behind that is really just that somebody who is an intentional friend. They're just going to have relationship. They're going to know what's going on in the older person's life. Therefore, they can help as life happens, things come up. They can help leverage relationships that they have to help meet those needs. The key is they're not meeting all the needs. That's not the goal. We as a church want to do that. And so the second aspect of this is how do we then broaden the pool, bring more people into those care opportunities? On the back of your little card is a QR code, the Skills and Interest Survey. We've talked about it a variety of different times, but now here's the real appeal. If you have not filled that out yet, please do it. Take the time to do it. The idea behind that, it's 30-ish categories of things where you can say, I'm willing to help or have an interest in helping in this category. And you know, you select as many or as few as you want. You're not committing to anything. Basically, what you're committing to is being willing to be reached out to when a need arises. And so the idea here is, how do we broaden the relational networks that exist within our church? Because as people age, we want them to know that they're valued. We want them to be connected in, tied in, and we as a church get to benefit. You know, Mark was just talking about, like, we are here. We are benefiting from people sacrificing, giving. Man, I'm looking at people and I'm getting up. Anyway, there are folks sitting in this room right now that have given financially, given of their time, given of their energy. They have sacrificed in significant ways so that we as a church get to experience all that we're experiencing now. As they age, I want to make sure they know we care. They're valued. They're important. And so how do we do that? Well, the idea is this. You fill that out. When this care coordinator finds out, hey, somebody needs just some help with yard work. Well, here's a list of people. We can say, here's 15 people who've said they're interested in helping with that stuff. You get contacted. If you're able to help that time, great. If you're not, no big deal. No sweat off. Not a big deal at all. But it's an opportunity then. You go, you serve, you get to know that person. Now there's a relational connection. And hopefully that just continues to build. The wider and deeper those relational connections exist, the better care just exists. Mutual care, that's what we've always talked about and always wanted. So that's kind of what we're after. So I'm excited about it. There's opportunities that will become, you know, we're kind of getting, so we've got 15 people who have agreed to be a care coordinator. We've gone through and kind of identified some of our older members who potentially could benefit from that. And so basically the holdup at this point is I've got to work on the job description exactly and get that done because we want to make sure that it's a clear-cut setting of expectations because, once again, the goal is not that somebody becomes their person and takes care of everything for them. That's not at all the goal. It's really to help connect them in and make sure that someone's aware of what's going on in their life and can help care for them in a greater way. So anyway, if you haven't filled out that survey, please do so. That would really make a difference. That's how we broaden the pool of people who can help with various things is we just know who's available, who's interested in helping in things. And so anyway, I think that's it. Thank you all for the way you love and serve each other. One of the most encouraging things over the last several months is I've had conversations with potential care coordinators, people who've agreed to do it, older folks. Like, there's just so much good stuff that's happening organically in the church already, and we don't want to replace any of that. A program is not what we want. What we want is to kind of supplement and continue to build that organic connections and relationships. And so, Lord willing, that this will all foster that. But we need everybody to be a part of that in order for that to work well.
Thank you, David.
Excellent, excellent, wonderful. Very encouraging tonight. And I don't want to forget to say this. Kat, I hope you're encouraged, Catherine Spencer. Just the investment that you made into Sarah and Julia in particular. I was just thinking about you. I hope you're encouraged tonight. Very meaningful. Yes. All right, wonderful. A lot of wonderful stuff going on. So as Dave was just talking about our desire to care for the older folks in our church, we wanted to take just a moment tonight to talk about ways we want to help care for the younger folks in our church, so particularly our middle school and high school age students. So just talk a little bit about our youth ministry, the 116, and give you a little bit of an update as to what's happening. Not all of the particulars, but just high level stuff so that as a church, you're just at least aware of and informed on a high level what's happening in our youth ministry. So we want to continue to invest in our middle school and high school age students and ministry so that you know, the experience that you hear happening in Mission 28, M28, it's like, okay, I'd love to see some of that kind of stuff happening with our youth ministry too. So so last year, if you will remember, one step toward investing in our youth ministry and growing that and investing there was hiring Sharon Deegan as our youth, what do we say, youth coordinator, director? Okay, either coordinator. So Sharon over the past year, really helping me in particular on the administrative side, behind the scenes, getting people in the right place, our volunteers, our helpers, administratively coordinating, connecting people, helping to just build a vision on the back end of things. So really appreciate Sharon. I know I saw you earlier, but yes, there you are. Thank you for all your hard work.
She's amazing.
So, and she's agreed to continue. So that's the encouraging thing tonight. Yes, we made it past a year. So, but this coming year, to continue to invest in our youth ministry, we want to do more personnel investment, so that there's people on the ground that are really that's there to do the work, and Lord willing, just improve what we're doing in our youth ministry. So two additions personnel-wise. John Shea is actually going to be helping me lead our youth ministry so that there's another elder, another pastor investing in our middle school and high school students. Particularly, John's very good with just a strategy, leadership side of things, particularly helping to integrate our youth just into the overall life of the church. How can we do that better so that it's not just the youth ministry, they really begin to feel like Crossway's their church. And so we've talked about some things there, but John's going to be helping there, helping to connect our families as well, just broadly. And then Kat Spencer, who has served in M28, I think a couple Sundays ago, we were talking about her transition, is going to be doing an internship with Crossway broadly. And one of her job descriptions is going to be helping with our youth ministry, and in particular, investing in our junior and senior high school students, our juniors and seniors in high school, some discipleship stuff, really equipping them to learn how to just lead and serve in some particular way. So Catherine's going to be investing there. So I think the addition of John, the addition of Catherine, just intentional investment there, some leadership there, Lord willing, is going to serve our youth, serve our parents and our families in our youth ministry. So John, do you just want to talk a little bit about what you're doing, why you're jumping in, and sort of your side of things here?
Sure.
Thank you.
I'm going to be the hype man.
Lasers and smoke.
Lasers.
DJ.
No, that's
I'd like
not
to see you try to DJ. That'd be
just, I could just not kidding. DJ well for obvious reasons, or maybe I could. Man, as we've talked about the youth in this church, here's our goal. We want you, if you're in middle school or high school, to grow up into Christ and to learn how to be part of a local church. And in so many ways, you're doing that. You're serving, you're caring for one another. But our overarching goal this year is to integrate the youth into the life of the church, right? So we put it this way when we talk about our mission statement or youth ministries. If you're a teen, we want to help connect new life in Jesus to your everyday life in a context where you can grow with friends, learn from mentors, and find your place in the church. And particularly that last part's my heart. I want to help us integrate youth ministry more broadly in the life of the church. We have an intergenerational context. We want to see that grow and flourish. We have youth coming from all over the city, all different schools, sports teams, and all of that. What does it look like for you to connect and be connected here as you grow up into Christ? So here are five goals, actually. I'll do that a lot.
Just say five.
Five goals, five kind of changes we're making, all right, officially. And if you're not involved in youth, you still need to know what's going on. So from now on, when we talk about youth ministry, that will be for 6th grade through 12th, with meaning if you have a kid going into 6th grade, they won't be able to go into Crossway Kids any longer. We're making that 0 to 5th grade and Crossway Youth to be both middle school and high school. And we realize that as younger students come in, they're gonna need to be oriented to what's going on in youth group. And so this year for rising 6th graders and 7th graders, we're gonna have a group that are people that are investing in y'all and showing you the ropes of youth ministry. So if you're a parent of a rising 6th or 7th grader, this coming month, you're gonna get more information about that.
Yep, okay. This is a slight change, but I think hopefully a helpful one and an important one. Our target, for lack of a better term, our target audience for what we're doing in our meetings is really to target 7th grade. Sixth grade is sort of that landing orientation year. You're new, you're just starting to get your feet underneath you. But 7th grade to 10th grade is sort of our target discipleship, where we're that's our focus. And so it sort of leaves the juniors and the seniors. Hey, what about us? We want to see two things with our juniors and seniors. We want to see our juniors and seniors take more ownership of the youth ministry. So helping to lead those meetings, run games, MC stuff, really pouring into the kids that are underneath them as they've grown up in the youth ministry and have been poured into. Sort of a similar concept to what M28 does, but really seeing our juniors and seniors pour back into the kids that are underneath them. So giving them opportunities to lead, helping them to do that. But then also continuing to invest into them, secondly. And so we're still going to meet twice a month as a youth ministry like we've been doing, but one meeting a month, our juniors and seniors, we're going to get a little focus time. So our juniors will pull them aside and we'll have more of like an open discussion, dialogue. Hey, let's talk about something, more intentional discipleship that's really geared toward, you know, somebody who's a junior or a senior in high school that you're not really going to be talking to a 6th or a 7th grader about. Having time at our 116 meetings where, yes, our juniors and seniors are learning how to lead and how to serve and invest intentionally, but then also still having time where we're going to invest into them. So if you've been around the 116, this will be new to you. If you're a parent has a junior or a senior in high school, this will be new to you, where once a month during those times where we're all still gathering, we'll kind of go do our own thing, and we'll have some time to talk, open discussions, discipleship, fellowship. What does it mean to follow Jesus in some very particular ways, particularly as you are getting older and you are transitioning toward, you know, adulthood and, you know, college age life and that sort of thing. So,
right.
Yes. And then,
you need glasses.
Yeah, it's like in the past year, it's gotten bad.
You should get some.
I can see. we will continue to be a parent and youth ministry, so parents are still encouraged to come. One of the things that John is going to work on, I think, or he just got assigned it, having opportunities, not just for parents to be involved and to serve, but we recognize there are folks in the church who are not necessarily parents or don't necessarily have kids still in the youth ministry, but still want to be involved in serving our youth. So maybe your kids are grown, maybe you're a young professional, or maybe even you're like you're a college student and you want to be involved. So one of the things we're talking with John mentioned this, and it might have gone over what he said, is just having more mentors as well. So John's going to do some stuff to help connect. If you are interested in mentoring or discipling or serving in youth, how do we connect more of our church body into that world to give opportunities for our youth, our teens to be discipled and mentored by more than just parents, as important as that is, but also just mentors and older folks in the faith who could pour into them as well.
Yep, so just point of clarity, this is not a move away from parents and youth ministry. It's adding the church broadly into youth ministry. And one last change that we are making, just practically schedule-wise to do this, we are going to change youth night from Friday night to Wednesday night. Many of our Wednesday night groups meet first and third Wednesday, so we've been smart about this. Right, we're gonna go second and fourth is gonna be youth ministry. And part of the change for that is to integrate it into broader church life. So that way, even though we won't have a weekly youth ministry, it would enable high school students in particular to still go to a church small group, and in fact, people throughout the church to have time to pour back into youth. We're still nailing down what that time will be. It will be a bit more brief because we're aware of homework and midweek, but we really feel that it's gonna help our youth to both build together midweek, but then be knit in more broadly to the church so that the youth schedule is kind of running on that midweek schedule with our small groups. So couple changes, but here's our heart at the end of that. It is just one more way that we get to invest in people, that the Spirit is gonna work in us and through us so that the next generation could follow him and set their hope on him, as Psalm 78 says. So if you have questions administratively, ask me. If you have other questions, ask Joe. That's gonna kind of be how we work together, but man, we are so excited for this.
Yep, a lot of details in there, not talking about, but that big picture, that's it. Yep,
we'll get there. Cool, we have one more panel. So thank you, Joe. And if we could have Amy Baker and Matt Ryan come on up, let's welcome them. And here is what we want to do. As you guys know, Over the fall and spring, every year we have men's and women's group, and our topic for our groups this year was highlighting the person and work of the Spirit, both in our individual lives and in the church as a whole. So we're grateful for Amy and Matt. They both led groups, and we want to highlight, I would love for you to just hear how our brother and sister have wrestled with this material and a couple stories of how God's worked in their group, right? So we get to just receive what God's done in them and others. So welcome.
Thank you
so much for being a part of this. Amy, we'll start with you. Question for both of you. Tell me a little bit about your group. Who was in it? Makeup.
Yeah, so I guess starting with me, me and my husband have 4 kiddos. We've been going here about, I think, 5 years, loved the community. We've been so blessed. And so I've gotten to lead a few studies now. And this one was wonderful. It was a little bit of a smaller group and multi-generational. That's a word, right? Okay. Different age ranges. It was just awesome. It was a chance for us to go through the book. It was wonderful. What was the author's name again?
Riggy Alcantar.
Alcantar, okay. And just kind of pinpoint ways that we had allowed the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, and maybe ways where wrong thinking or fear hindered his work in our lives. So, it was awesome. So.
Yeah, so I had a group with Art Locklear and Tyler Ludwig, so it was kind of a smaller group, and I've done a few of these in the past, and we were having a great time meeting at Dunkin' Donuts early Wednesday morning, but Art, we were about halfway through it, and Art ended up approaching me, letting me know that Jacob Bison actually had a group as well meeting the same morning, so about halfway through the study, we made a pivot and joined Chuck's group, and it was an absolute blast. We added a jack and a couple mics to our group, it was really a rich time. We're still meeting, but God's just gifted each and every person in the group in such unique ways. So to engage on this topic of the Holy Spirit and seeing how it has gifted each and every one in very specific ways has been so cool, not just to study the book, but to like live it out in the group together. And it's been a powerful time together, so it's been a blast.
Did you have to move away from Dunkin' Donuts, or did you still?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to know.
We did move away from Dunkin' Donuts.
Sure, Jacob Bison didn't meet at Dunkin' Donuts. It's not surprising. So I would love to hear from both of you, Matt. Why don't you start? Like, how did this study and being with the guys help you understand the Spirit, His work, His purpose in your life?
Yeah, one thing that Alcantar said in his book was that many Christians have reference points for the Father and the Son. We can relate, you know, pretty easily if you have a father, you know, and sons and whatnot. But the Holy Spirit, there's not as much of like a reference point for that. And that really resonated with me in a unique way, because I felt like I had kind of put the Holy Spirit in kind of like a box. I would think about, you know, oftentimes, you know, my quiet times in the morning and then Sunday services and things of that nature. But that seemed to be kind of like the box that I felt like I had often put the Holy Spirit in. So I started to really engage with the Holy Spirit a little bit more. And another thing that Alcantar ended up saying in his book was that the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal Jesus Christ to you, and also the will of the Father as well. As I started to, you know, pursue God and pursue the Spirit, I really started to get a sense of almost how weak I am in my own effort to pursue the Lord, and ineffective oftentimes. But I've been able to see the strength of the Lord, and I've been so encouraged by pursuing the Holy Spirit. It feels like a battery pack or something like that. It's been cool.
He's kind. Yes. He's very kind to reveal himself. Amy, what about you?
I don't think I'm as eloquent as Matt, so bear with me. No, I think there was a couple discussions that really struck me. And I would say the first one was we were talking about gifts, individual gifts that we had. And just this idea that some of them seemed newer, and then some of them seemed like it was part of who we were, like part of who God created us to be. And I think it was just kind of refreshing to me to know that along the way, you know, I probably have used those same beautiful gifts for selfish reasons, you know, manipulation. But as we were maturing, we kind of all laughed and thought, you know, this is part of the working out of our faith. And it was just this weight lifted off that I didn't have to mature to a certain point and kind of have my faith come to a certain point and then like, oh, now I can use that beautiful gift perfectly. You know, I mean, I'm still unfortunately sinful, and it's never going to be this perfect time where then I can really use my gift. That it's a working out of that and part of the maturing process. And I think subconsciously I just thought, like, man, I can't wait till I can really use my gifts, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that God's patience to empower us for things in the middle of our immaturity and sinfulness is wild, right? That he continually works in us and despite us, even when we assume that's us and it's actually him. What were just a few memorable conversations as we wrap up?
So for me, it was more than any like specific topic or whatnot. It was really the group dynamic that we had. It was, you know, as I had mentioned, it was just such a joy to see every single, you know, person in the group unique, gifted in such unique ways. I hadn't met Mike Grandy. I think his name is. Yeah, I never met him before. I also had never met Jack Christian and Mike. You know, is just so uniquely wired to be able to provide like historical context and research into the scriptures, and we were just fed by that so much. You know, Jack has a history of spending a lot of, you know, extended time with the Holy Spirit, and so he brought some incredible, unique perspectives. We had Chuck, who just does an amazing job leading, and then also we had some strong opinions at times, and I feel like Chuck just, you know, kind of thread the needle perfectly. You know, Art Locklear, I got to see the Holy Spirit through him really would come out where his desire for us to be unified in Christ, like his passion for unity, I thought was special. Tyler Ludwig was just spewing out wisdom, like we were all wondering why any of us were speaking and not just listening to Tyler. He was awesome. And then Mike McNamara, he just has this boldness about him and just, you know, willingness to share his experiences, to lift up the Lord and whatnot. So each and every single meeting that we had, you could very tangibly see how each and every member was so gifted in unique ways. And that's really what the book is about, is the Holy Spirit empowering all of us, and then we are a body. We're not just a group of individuals. And as we utilize our giftings, right, we all lift each other up for the same mission. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I would say our group was just wonderful, the same type thing. And I remember this one particular study. We had Brenda is sitting right there in front of me. I think Heather was giving an example of, you know, she felt like she was kind of sharing from her heart, and it became like kind of a little bit of a prophetic word that she had, and she was just sharing it, and she was like, I just feel like I need to share this. And then she kind of apologized and said, oh, you know, I don't, maybe it's not for anybody here. And Brenda looked at her, and I just loved it. She said, no, when you have a word from God, you need to tell me. And it was just this, I just loved it. Every time was wonderful. And it was just such a rich, such a rich time. So I'm really thankful.
That's awesome. Thank you for your faith, Brenda. Friends, it's so amazing that we've been made alive by the Spirit. We're being made to be like Christ by the Spirit. He's changing what we want. He's unifying us. He's empowering us and giving us gifts. And he's sending us out, and he's leading and guiding. And our hope as pastors, and you guys did, it's just so encouraging to hear what kind of conversations you have, because if you all could go away more aware of God and his work, then we could lean into how the Spirit's leading and guiding us. So thank you so much for sharing. Let's thank them as we wrap up. Wonderful. I'd encourage you, if you didn't get a chance to be a part of the group, that book, Carry the Fire, be a deep encouragement to you this summer. So I'd really, if you think about Acts and all that we're learning, pick a topic, whether it's dependence on the Spirit or prayer or evangelism, and just use your summer and personal study to grow in these ways. Or maybe grab a couple friends and go through that or another book. I think as we scatter, we have an opportunity to still stay connected and lean in to what God's doing. As we move to a close, I want to give you one more update on a dear family in the church that we love. They've been a gift to us, the Dukes family, Jeremiah and Jen and Matthew and James. As many of you know, in 2020, God led the Dukes to Charlotte to plant a church. And in God's kindness, he ended up leading them here for a while to land. And they've been faithful members serving in many ways for the past 5 years. They've led a community group, men's and women's, ministry and a host of other ways. We've loved and grown with them, and they've grown with us. Whenever a family comes in, whenever a man comes in particular, exploring the call to ministry, we want to come alongside and partner with him in that. And so for the past few years, we've talked with Jeremiah as pastors about eldership, church planning with Sovereign Grace, and exploring those things together. And we've even explored a non-elder position here on staff. But as we've talked about what God's calling him to and them to in ministry, we realized that there wasn't quite the alignment needed to partner on a couple particular things. Now, in the middle of all of that, there's been much love, much unity, and much graciousness. And we couldn't commend the Dukes more for how they've walked through that process. But during this process, with much prayer and conversation, Jeremiah and Jen have felt God begin to call them to step out and begin the process of planning a new church here in Charlotte. We've been talking about that for a couple months. Many of y'all may have heard from them. So this Sunday will be their last Sunday with us, and we want to thank the Dukes for all that they've invested here and pray for them as they move to a close. Jen and Jeremiah, you guys have profoundly been a blessing, and we love you. And I just want to pray for you that God leads you and guides you. We love you so much. And let's go to them on behalf of our friends. Father, thank you that you send people here for us to grow with. God, that you lead us by your Spirit. We're so grateful for Jeremiah and Jen and their impact here. God, we're grateful for how you led us. Just as we partnered with them, God, that you made your way plain and clear. Father, we pray that you bless them as they take this next step to begin to explore what it looks like to see a new work begun in Charlotte. God, we pray for the boys, that you would bless them. They are a gift to us. May they grow up into you. And God, may you use this family for your glory. And God, for all of us, we pray that we would be attentive to your leading. God, that as you lead us as a church into many different things, whether it's on campus or towards a stewardship campaign, or you speak to us by your Spirit, or we're investing in youth, we pray that we would be a church that leans in to what you're doing in and through us. Father, thank you so much for your work. We praise you for that. We pray that you would be with us tonight as we head out. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, and I want to read God's word as we close. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you might approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And all God's church said, have a great night, and go get your kids if they're downstairs. One more thing, if you want to stick around,